chapter 19. Well, that's the Lord's help with the rather difficult chapter. Lord, thank you for the word. It tells it as it is, Lord. And sometimes it isn't very nice. We see our world caught up in all its evil and sin, selfishness, wickedness, its brutality. And Lord, it's here in the book as well, Lord, as you record how the human heart can sink to such depths. Lord, thank you that there's grace with you, that we can be redeemed, and we can be brought out of the mess and brought into your marvellous light. Even as David said, he brought me out of a miry clay, he put my feet upon a rock and gave me a song in my mouth. Lord, thank you that there's grace. And we pray, Lord, as we learn tonight, Lord, of how evil men can be, Lord, to realise, Lord, you're able and willing to help us and keep us out of the mess that people can get into. Mm-hmm. Have mercy on us, we pray, and bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, these last chapters, again, just to remind you, are sort of samples from the history of the book of Judges, coming from the earlier periods. We've covered the whole span from the beginning to Samson, and this is one of the things that occurred in the earlier days, it would seem, again. Right, so, in those days Israel had no king, yeah, and what's the next line? It doesn't say it there tonight, but it will say it at the end of the book. In those days Israel had no king.
And everybody did what was right in their own eyes.
Everybody did what was right in their own eyes, pleased themselves. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, I'll do it the way I want. So, and we see this as a terrible example of this tonight. Now a Levite, what's a Levite? A Levite was a priest. He was one of the descendants of Aaron, and they had the job of teaching the people the Bible, right, in order that people would live the way God wanted them to live. So this was the Levite's job, but as you can see, well, we'll see, he didn't do it very well. The Levite, who lived in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. Right, so he married this girl, but what's the problem with having a concubine is she's not a proper wife. She's just there, you know, a bit of a skivvy, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. Concubines were second class wives, we could say. Yeah?
Simple.
Why did he marry her?
Did he marry her?
Well, he did, but it wasn't a real. I was going to say, she's married to him, but it's sort of not very good.
He said he took a
piece. Right. Why did he treat her right? Well, we'll see anyway. Right. And she was from Bethlehem. Well, he met her in there down there from Bethlehem in Judah, so. But she was unfaithful to him. Now, what's that mean?
She went off with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't tell us why, but reading the rest of the story, I'm not surprised she left him.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean what she did was right. But she was unfaithful to him. She had committed to him, and part of the thing about being married is you're faithful to each other. That's what God wants us to be. Yeah? Anyway, she had enough and cleared off and went off with somebody else. She says she left him and went back to her father's house in Bethlehem, Judah. So she left home, left where they were living, and went back to her old place where her dad was. Yeah. Right. After she'd been there for 4 months, her husband went to her to persuade her to return. So he's missing her. Right. Why will he be missing her? I suspect because she did the jobs that he was having to do now.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Washing.
Yeah. Of course, in bed as well, I suspect. But yeah. I think it was that she was the household skivvy,
yeah.
And he's finding he's got too much work to do, having to look after himself. So he went after him. He might have genuinely missed her. You know, give him credit. We are human occasionally. Yeah. Right. Right. So after 4 months, he goes there. He says he took with him his servant. Well, he's got somebody to do the housework.
Yeah.
His servant and 2 donkeys. Why did he have 2 donkeys?
One for her,
one for himself. That's it. And the servant does the walking. Right. So, she took him into her father's house, and when her father saw him, he gladly welcomed him. Well, no hard feelings. Come in. You're welcome. Nice to see you.
I'm getting off my hands now.
I think that maybe would be part of father's thinking was,
get rid of her.
Can we get rid of her?
Yeah,
that's what we're going to see in this passage is how men treat women is not very good. It still happens today, but it was bad then as well. Yeah. So that's, I suspect that's what father's thoughts are. Yeah. But anyway, we're going. Yeah. Right, his father-in-law, the girl's father, prevailed upon him to stay, and so he remained with them 3 days, eating and drinking and sleeping there. So, we'll have a party. Yeah, so he persuaded the guy, let's stay, don't go away straight away, you know. It's nice to see you, let's celebrate, yeah? Nothing wrong with that, is there? Hospitality? Right.
Free drink?
Yeah. The problem, as we will see, is he was a bit too fond of partying. Nothing wrong with the party, but this is getting a bit out of hand, really. So, what happens is, on the fourth day, they got up early and prepared to leave. Now, that's good, isn't it? If you're going to do a job, get started. Yeah, start nice and bright, and we're off, yeah? So, he got up early to leave, but the girl's father said to his son-in-law, refresh yourself with something to eat, and then you can go. Have a bit of meal, you know, breakfast, have a nice breakfast, relax. Yeah, that's what it's about. Then you can go. Right, so the two of them sat down to eat and drink together. And they sat down and ate to drink together too long. Because afterwards the girl father said, please stay tonight and enjoy yourself. Right, so he said, don't bother going now, you know. Right. And when the man got up to go, his father-in-law persuaded him. So he stayed there that night. So that's another night gone. Yeah. On the morning of the fifth day, when he rose to go, the girl's father said, refresh yourself, wait till this afternoon. So the two of them ate together.
And drank together.
And probably drank together as well again, right, yeah. So, as I say, this chap's a bit sort of, the term we would use is self-indulgent, you know. Rather than do the job, I'll do something that I like doing, yes? Yeah, that's the idea. Have you found that happens with people?
Yeah.
Maybe you do, yeah? You put something off because there's something nicer that you can think about, yeah? Rather than trailing all the way back up there to Ephraim country, you know, down at Bethlehem, nice, cosy, bit of breakfast, bit of drink. All right, eh? So, right, there we go. Verse 9, are we right? Okay. Then, when the man with his concubine and his servant got up to leave, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said, now look, it's almost evening. Spend the night here. The day is nearly over. Stay and enjoy yourself. Early tomorrow morning, you can get up and be on your way. Yeah? So dad's trying again. Right? But unwilling to stay another night, the man left and went towards Jebus, that is, Jerusalem, with his two saddled donkeys and his concubine. So he's wasted all the day, and now he's decided, I've got to go, so he sets off when it's getting late. Is that dumb or is it not?
Dumb.
That's dumb, right? And he heads towards Jebus. That's the name of the place then, right? It's now known as Jerusalem, yeah. It was an occupied city in the time that we're reading about now, yeah? The Canaanites lived there, yeah? Right, so he sets off. When they were near Jebus and the day was almost gone, the servant said to his master, come, let's stop at this city of the Jebusites and spend the night. So, fair enough, eh? Let's stop here. It's a city. We'll probably find somewhere to stay. Let's just put up for the night here. It's getting late anyway, isn't it?
Maybe we're enticing this man to stay up.
Right, so, no, but the servant is wise here.
Yeah, he's trying to get around.
Yeah, he's saying, look, it's dark, it's dangerous out there.
Yeah.
Why don't we park up for the night and we'll carry on in the morning? Good advice. But what he says is, his master replied, no, we won't go into an alien city whose people are not Israelites. We will go on to Gibeah. Right? So he says, well, these are foreigners and pagans, you know. We won't mess around with them. We don't want to go to them. Sounds all very spiritual, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he should have thought of that earlier on, really. But there they are. No, we can't go messing with these pagans. No, we'll go on to Gibeah, because Gibeah is in Benjamin, the town. It's an Israelite town. So we'll head off from there. But it's another 20 miles or more. Right? Bit dumb. But anyway, he added, let's try to reach Gibeah or Ramah and spend the night in one of these places. So they went on, and the sun set as they neared Gibeah in Benjamin. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the Middle East, the days are all the same length, more or less. It's getting towards the same length of the day, morning and evening. Comes around more or less the same time. We don't have, as in our northern climes, long nights and long days. Yeah, it's the same more or less day length. As they get nearer the equator, it gets more and more even. Yeah, and the thing about the time of day is when the sun sets down there, it's dark. We don't, they don't get twilight. Yeah, when the light goes out, the light's gone out. Yeah, so it's dark now. We're getting dark. Yeah.
Another 20 miles, that would take
them. It'd take, well, no, and you can shift fairly decent, you know, with a donkey or two.
And the servant running along.
Well, no, sorry, it's 20 miles from Bethlehem to Jebus, right? How further on to Gibeah, I'm not sure. Right. Yeah, I got the number wrong there, yeah? Right. Okay. Right, anyway, off we go. They got there just as the sun was going down. So they went on, so they went on. They stopped to spend the night. They went and sat in the city square, but no one took them into his home for the night. So they went into the city square, the marketplace. Yeah? And they went there. What were they expecting?
Someone to help them.
Someone to offer them hospitality. That was the custom of those days. You turn up, a stranger turns up, and you offer them hospitality. That's the way the customs were. Yeah? So that's what he's expecting, but nobody turns out. Eh? That evening, an old man from the hill country of Ephraim, who was living in Gibeah, the men of that place were Benjaminites, he came in from his work in the fields. So there's this old guy, he's been out working, and he's from Ephraim, he's a foreigner to these parts. How long he's lived there, I don't know, but in some places you can live for 90 years and still be a foreigner, can't you, you know? But anyway, he's a foreigner. He's a foreigner, and he's coming home from work, and he spots these guys, and he says, when he looked and saw the traveller in the city square, the old man asked, where are you going, and where did you come from? So that's fair enough, isn't it? Interested? He answered, we're on our way from Bethlehem in Judah to a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, where I live. I've been to Bethlehem in Judah, and now I'm going to the house of the Lord. Well, depends on how you translate that. Yeah. Where was the house of the Lord? It was in Shiloh. He's not going to Shiloh.
No.
And it doesn't actually say he's going to the house of the Lord. It says he's going about the Lord's house business, effectively. No. He's a Levite, is what he's really saying, yeah? No. I'm a Levite, and I've come from Bethlehem, and I'm heading north. That's his answer, right? And so, where are we now?
80.
80, thank you, very good. Yes, we're on our way to Bethlehem, yes, right. No one has taken me into his house. That probably is a bit of a complaint, I suspect. Yeah. Do you grumble when things don't go your way? Well, he's grumbling. Yeah. No, it depends how you say it, of course, isn't it? Nobody's taken me into his house. Yeah. He says, here I am. Effectively, what he's saying is, here I am doing God's work, and then nobody's doing anything for me. That's the problem with ministers, you know. All right, here we are doing God's work and nobody thinks about me. That's a bit selfish, really, isn't it? Yeah,
we
there
you are. About you then.
That's all right, okay. Right, and he says this, we have both straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for ourselves, your servants, me and your maidservant and the young man with us. We don't need anything. So basically he's saying is it won't cost you. Yeah? If you put us up, it won't cost you because we've got all the stuff we need for the animals, for ourselves. All we need is a roof over our heads for the night. Yeah. So, you're welcome at my house. That's good of him, isn't he? He's one of these old guys, the old school that are hospitable, yeah? Do you know Christians are meant to be hospitable?
Yeah.
One of the things we are, to be welcoming to people, yeah? Right. You're welcome in my house, the old man said. Let me supply whatever you need. So basically he's saying is, keep your stuff. I'll do the host bit, yeah? Only don't spend the night in the square. Right now, why does he say that? Because he knows something they don't know.
Yeah.
It's dangerous, yeah? Only, but he doesn't tell them what. But only don't, it's not safe. Yeah, that's what he's really saying. So, he took him into his house and fed his donkeys, and after they'd washed their feet, they had something to eat and drink. Now, isn't that interesting? Washing feet.
Wash their feet before you go down.
Yeah. That was a custom in those days. Remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? The stone jars that he asked the guys to fill were the jars that were used for washing feet.
Yeah.
The water in there was used for washing feet because when you came out from the streets, your feet were all dirty and a bit sticky and things like that. So a nice freshen up. Have you ever put your feet in a cold bowl of water on a hot day? Yeah. Nice, eh? Well, that's what's for refreshing them, right? So that's what he did, yeah? Okay. So, there they are, having something to eat. While they were enjoying themselves, Some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house. So words got out. Isn't it funny, eh? Nobody comes to give them an offering of a hospitality, but everybody knows that they've arrived. Yeah? Right? So some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house. Pounding on the door, they shouted to the old man who owned the house, "Bring out the man who came to your house so we can have sex with him." Right? This is bad.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. Yes? And this had happened previously in the time of Abraham. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah got blasted for this? Yeah? So, they're banging on the door, nasty lot, yeah? The owner of the house went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, don't be so vile!" Right? So he's giving them an ear bashing in that sense. "Since this man is my guest, don't do this disgraceful thing." It was part of the honour code of the people then. When you've got somebody under your house, they are protected. It's true today, I'm told this, right? You can have an enemy, yeah? And if he meets you outside, he'll kill you, right? But if he invites you into his house, he won't touch you. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
But it's that rule of hospitality. While you're under their roof, you're under their protection.
Yeah, but yeah? It does,
no. Okay. Sorry? Well, we're coming to this bit, yeah? Right, don't do this. So he's right so far, yeah? He's telling them this is a wicked thing. Get out, go home, and give up, right? "Look, here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. I'll bring them out to you now." What do you think to that? He'll feed them to the wolves, basically. Right? What's their attitude? What's their attitude to their girls? It's terrible. It's really, really bad.
It's like a possession that you can just give away. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it happens today.
Yeah,
it happens today.
Yeah.
I know somebody in where is it? Tanzania, right? I think the family were on hard times, so he sold the daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, probably sold her off to get married to some old boy, I should think.
Yeah.
But to get some money for the family, yeah. Not good. No. Not good. Right. So he's offering his daughter and the concubine in exchange for a bit of peace and quiet. What should he have done?
Close the door on them.
Close the door on them. Let me put it this way. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Mm.
Yeah? Because he's prepared to do a wrong to get a quiet life, it doesn't make it right. Yeah. Okay, so.
But they probably didn't see it wrong in them.
Well, no, they didn't see it wrong. No, they thought this is the way we behave.
A lot of countries, they use it. They don't think it's wrong for them to go out, do they?
Hmm. "I'll bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But to this man, don't do such a disgraceful thing."
But why is it the thing?
It's disgraceful. It's because it's a sexual perversion, is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's what he's about.
Yeah.
But I mean, abusing his daughter and the ladies, just okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. This is why Israel got into the mess it got in. Yeah, this sort of stuff going on. Right. Anyway, carry on. It gets worse. Right, you'll be pleased to know. But the men would not listen. Fancy that. Yeah?
Yeah?
Lustful, arrogant, nasty lot. They're not going to listen to somebody. And it says, so the man took his concubine. So the man would not, they would not listen to him. So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. And they raped her and abused her throughout the night. And at dawn they let her go. There's a verse in there. I've missed it somehow. No, we've covered it. Now, there's one bit somewhere where it says they go back at him saying, "Here comes this foreigner telling us what to do. Who does he think he is?" It's in there somewhere anyway. Then maybe we'll come across it later. Yeah. So this poor girl is gang raped. That's effectively what happens.
Yeah.
Right. And in the morning they let her go. Well, that's very generous of them, isn't it? Yeah. They chuck her out. At daybreak, the woman went to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the door, and lay there until daylight.
He didn't even let her in.
Didn't let her in. I suspect he never heard her, because he's probably been eating, drinking with the old boy, and dozed off, and after me, too. She turns up, falls at the door, and that's where she stays. And in fact, she dies there. Right? When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue on his way, there lay his concubine, fallen in the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, get up, let's go. Can you believe it?
Yeah,
this is callousness, hard hearted. I mean, what would you have said? Are you all right, love? As a moderate human gesture.
No, they picked her up and tugged her.
Yeah. But no, no, get up, get moving. This is his view of her. That's just bad, isn't it? Yeah. It's no good. So get up, get going. But what does she do?
She died.
There was no answer because she's dead. Then the man put her on his donkey and set out for home. So he's going to take her home and give her a decent burial. Is that right?
No.
No, it gets worse. Yeah. Right. When he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts and sent them to all the areas of Israel. So he chops her up and sends off the bits to the different tribes. Why does he do that? It's really, I mean, this is, well, let's put it this way, it's desecration of a body.
Well,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
He should have at least given her a decent burial. Yeah, but what does he do? He chops her up. Cause he's been upset. Yeah. They've killed his concubine, effectively. Yeah. So he's all upset. So he wants to get all the rest of the Israelites to back him up to do something about it. So he sends these bits all over the tribes. Yeah. And when the tribes see it, says, when everyone saw it, they said, such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day the Israelites came out of Egypt. Think about it, consider it, and tell us what to do.
So fight. There's a fight now, isn't it?
There's a fight coming, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was wrong what happened.
Terrible.
Yes.
Wrong.
Yeah, but what should he have done?
What should he have done?
What, once he got her back, he should have buried her for a start.
No.
Right? Yes. What could he have done? Do you know what King Saul did? King Saul did the right thing. Let me take, it's 1 Samuel 11.
He should have gone out and left her in the house and gone out to them and said the
They should have closed the door. And if they all had to suffer, they all had to suffer.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say they let one go for the sake of everybody else. Yeah. Sometimes you're in very difficult situations, but two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
That's the point, yeah? They have the term the lesser of two evils. And sometimes we have to do lessers of two evils, but best not to do any evils at all and leave the Lord to sort it out. But there we go. In 1 Samuel 11, I believe. I think it's 1 Samuel 11. Right. These were barbaric times, and times haven't changed a lot, it would seem to me. Right. Right, now then. Chapter 11. Nahash the Ammonite went up to besiege Jabesh Gilead.
Well, sorry, what chapter?
This is chapter 11 of 1 Samuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the pagan kings, you could say. He went and besieged Jabesh Gilead. That's an Israelite town. Yeah. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us and we will be subject to you. They say, we'll surrender if you play fair with us. Yeah. Right. But Nahash the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you and so bring disgrace on Israel. So he's not content with capturing the city, he wants to rub Israel's nose in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants to disgrace God. Well, he's picked the wrong guy to do that, yes? But anyway, there we are. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. So they're saying is, give us a chance, we'll find out if anybody's going to help us. If they don't, well, we'll hand ourselves over, right? So, they're stalling for 7 days, right? When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud, right? They all wept aloud, but what did they do? Nothing! Crocodile tears, well, maybe real tears, but that's not going to do any good, yeah? Just then, Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen, and he asked, what's wrong with the people? Why are they weeping? Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said. Yeah. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power. This is the good phase of Saul. Yeah. He goes a bit off later on, but this is definitely one of his high points. Yeah. He gets really angry at what they're doing about the men of Jabesh and about God's name. Yeah. And so, he says, he took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces and sent the pieces by messenger throughout Israel, proclaiming, this is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow you, Saul and Samuel. What's he just done? Same thing, but he used an ox.
Yeah.
It's the same message,
yeah,
but a lot more decent way of doing it. And so he sends these bits of animal around, and as a result, all the tribes get to know that they've got to act, right? So when the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they turned out as one man. And when Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And so Saul leads them into battle and rescues the city. You can read the story for yourself later on, yeah? So, transferring that back to the end of the passage in Judges, what should the guy have done? What should the old boy and the Levite have done? Well, it's Genesis. Where in Genesis? It's about chapter 12, 18, something like that. I'll tell you in a moment. It's chapter 19. Right. Now, admitted, there weren't any angels on the job at the time, but let's have a look. That's where it comes from. It wasn't in the Judges, it's in here, right. Chapter 19, you'll see what I mean. Similar story, but a different ending in that sense, yeah? The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lord, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet, see, and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we'll spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did not go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them, right? Lot went outside to meet them and said, and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Good so far.
Yeah.
Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you and you can do what you like with them. Charming, eh?
It's the same thing.
Same thing. But don't do anything to these men, for they come under the protection of my roof, right? Get out of our way, they replied. And they said, this fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot to move forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. And then they told Lot and his family to get out because they were going to destroy the city. Sorry? Because they're angels. They're angels. They have powers. Yeah. Now, I can't rewrite the book of Judges, but I would have suggested if it meant them having the house burnt down, fair enough. Yeah. At least they did the right thing. Yeah. Rather than giving their daughters away and everything else and the concubine. Yeah. But I've got a sneaky feeling in those days, if you did what was right by the Lord will find some way of getting you out of it. Yeah? As he did here. Right? He rescues Lot because he's the only righteous one in the place. Yeah? And so God knows how to look after his own. This Levite is not a Levite. He's the Levite in name. Yeah, but he's certainly not the right guy. And it's a mess. And of course, Back to Judges one moment. Last little bit. We'll have to stop there. We've had enough nasties for tonight. Right. Actually, it's not quite as bad after this.
Good.
You'll be pleased to know.
You might sleep better.
You might sleep better, yeah. Right. It's not as bad in one sense, but it is bad. Because as a result of him sending the bits of the poor lady around the nation, let's just read first verse. It says, chapter 20. Then all the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba. Did you mention that? The phrase Dan to Beersheba means north to south. Yeah. John of Groats to Land's End. Yeah. All the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba from the land of Gilead came out as one man and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. The leaders of all the people of the tribes of Israel took their places in the assembly of God, 400,000 soldiers armed with swords. The Benjaminites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. And then the Israelites said, tell us how this awful thing happened. And the Levite tells the story again. There's going to be civil war.
Yeah.
That's civil war. Brother fighting against brother. People getting killed. All because, as we'll see later on, that this wickedness, they didn't deal with it.
Yeah.
They didn't deal with it, and so it just got worse and worse. And that's true of most problems. If you don't deal with them at the start, you'll have to deal with them later on, and it'll be a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
So, I told you it was bad, didn't I?
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah. I want to. It still goes on today. It's wicked, but do you know, it's a bit of a personal testimony. But my dad, he wasn't a perfect man, but he lost his father in a mining accident when he was about 12 years old. So he was brought up by Gran. Very hard times. They didn't have family allowance and things in those days. So Dad started to work in the pits, the coal mines, at the age of 14. Yeah, 14 years old, and he's working down the coal mine. And that's how they did it in those days. Yes, yeah. But Granny was a Pentecostal. My grandmother was a Pentecostal. She loved the Lord. Yeah, but my dad worshipped the ground she walked on. Yeah?
Mm.
And he had a respect for women that he passed on to me. And he used to say, Dennis, you look after your mum and she'll look after you.
Mm.
Yeah. And he was never take a hand, you know, violence to women he thought was wicked, terrible thing. Good old dad.
Mm.
Yeah. He was brought up on the Bible. It's strange to say, he was brought up on the Bible till he was 18 years old and then decided that he loved. That's because it's another story this, but yeah, that's because he'd taken a shine to a certain lady.
Right?
Now there's a problem for Gran. I'd say Granny was a Pentecostal, but she wasn't a perfect Pentecostal, because Granny loved my dad as a son, right? But he'd become a substitute as a husband, in the sense that he was the provider. He was the man of the house, right?
Mm.
And so when this other woman came on the scene, competition, and so she scuppered it. And so Dad didn't think much of the church people after that, really. Scuppering it, yeah.
Mm.
Another story, yeah. Well, no perfect humans, I'm afraid, yeah. But this whole chapter just shows you the lack of respect they had for women.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not what the Bible teaches, yeah. We're to respect fellow human beings, no matter what variety of shape we come in, because we're all made in the image of God,
yeah.
And valued as such. You know. Right, well, may the Lord help us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It says in Jesus, there's neither Jew, Greek, male nor female, you know, we're all counted as equal before the Lord. Let's pray.
Mm.
Father, we see, Lord, and all we need to do is open the papers or listen to the news, and what we've just looked at, Lord, is happening today. Lord, evil just having a play day with people and feelings and lives all being damaged and destroyed through the wanton lust and selfishness of others. Oh God, have mercy on us. May we have better attitudes because you've cleansed us. You've made us new in Jesus. Lord, I know for all of us, Lord, and I know for myself particularly, Lord, there but for the grace of God. Lord, we'd just be the same if we were left to our own evil hearts, Lord, but you've been merciful to us, and we want to thank you for that. Lord, we pray you'll grant us your blessing, and we pray we'll show compassion to those who are damaged and wounded, Lord, and seek to lift them up and to help them, Lord, rather than just walk over them and ignore. Lord, have mercy on us, and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, well, it's civil war next week.
Oh, okay.
And we'll finish with that.
Horrible,
not good. Sorry?
Why sending chopped up bits of the concubine? He could have sent something else.
He could have.
A messenger, couldn't he?
He could have sent a messenger. It's because she didn't count. She wasn't worth anything to him.
It's a woman.
Yeah. She was just something to be used. Yeah. That's terrible when people have an attitude to others like that. You know? It's a great, great sad thing. And no wonder Israel got in the mess. You can see, yeah? If that's the Levites, they're supposed to be the leaders of the good ways. Yeah? Right. Thank the Lord, we can say, by the grace of God, I'm a new creation, yes.